anyways. And he asked me to talk a little bit too. Even you guys are going to start talking about making wise choices and wise decisions. So decided I better start making some of those. That'd probably be a good thing. But hey, I was brought up in what a lot of people refer to as a Christian home. I had Christian parents and went to church. Didn't really like church when I was a little guy at all. I kind of hated it. Thought it was boring. But in high school, I started getting a little more involved in the youth group and stuff. And really started realizing what Christianity was about. And one of my most difficult struggles is kind of being a high school student and trying to be a Christian and live like Christ really was some of the music I listened to. It seemed like any time I went to some sort of conference or heard some sort of speaker, one of the things that always kind of convicted me or something, I was like, oh man, I need to change this in my life, was the music I listened to. And I'm a big music guy. I love playing guitar and love all kinds of music. I was in a band for a little while, so it was kind of one of my passions was playing music, listening to music and everything. But I had kind of shifted different styles of music I like to listen to. And in high school, I started liking a lot of like the gangster rap. Some of you guys are into the gangster rap? Yeah. So I was a Christian at the high school, and I started with another friend, this Fellowship of Christian Athletes group, and I was part of, you know, the leadership for our student body, and I was on the ministry team at my local church. And I was, you know, leader on the football field, and I was supposed to be, you know, this Christian guy. And then I listened to the music in my car, and I remember this one lyric of this song. I bought this new CD. I was pumped. I heard it from a buddy, and it was this rapper named Spice One. And he's probably old now, but I'm getting old, man. But anyways, the lyric of, like, my favorite song, I remember it was, kill them all, kill them all, kill them all, because everyone's down on this mother... bad word, album, all right, that was like the main lyric, and I was just like, dude, this is awesome, right, and then I'd go to church, and so I realized, I was like, oh man, I can't give this up, oh man, I like it so much, I don't know why, but I liked it a lot, but so that was kind of one of my big struggles in high school, and I realized, you know, that my wisdom, when I was talking about being wise and wise choices, my wisdom was like, well, okay, I just need to get rid of that stuff, right, I just stopped listening to it. That's what you do. You have something bad or something that maybe what we consider to be sinful in your life, you just stop. But I tried, and that didn't quite work for me. I couldn't just stop listening to this. I couldn't just stop and change the music I was listening to. And so I ran across this verse, and I ran across this verse, I'll be honest, after I kind of went through this time period in my life. But it really kind of describes what happened in the midst of my musical decisions. Philippians 4:8, the Apostle Paul is talking, and he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And eventually what happened with me is I was in the midst of this struggle, I started finding some different Christian music or lyrics that are Christian. I hate because I like think all music is Christian. But anyways, that's another story. But anyways, I started finding these lyrics that were more positive and these lyrics that were more Christian. And I started saying, hey, you know, these guys are pretty good. I kind of like this music. And I started kind of filling up my mind with some of these things that are more excellent, more praiseworthy. And all of a sudden, I had all these other kind of CDs that I liked to listen to. And so eventually, I kind of stopped listening to those things that were kind of negative and some of the things that I knew weren't wise things to be putting in my head. And what I kind of learned through this whole process is that the Bible never really tells us exactly to resist sin. I don't know if you guys know that. The Bible never says to resist sin, but it says to flee from it, to run, to fill your mind with other things. And so I realized if I take this thing in my life and I take it out of my life because it's bad or it's not the wise choice, man, I got to put something in its place. And so when I started finding this other music and these other cool things that I like to do and like to listen to, man, that was able to help me be able to kind of make that wise choice. And so as you guys are maybe being convicted on different things, or you realize, man, there's something in my life that's not really the best thing for me to do or might not be the most loving action for me, I need to take that out of my life. Man, dwell on these things that the Bible talks about are true and noble and right and pure and holy, praiseworthy, and the things that are good for you to have in your life. And what I kind of also found from this is that, you know, sometimes what we think is wise might not necessarily be what God thinks is wise. And I think if you guys read your Bible and you guys have read your Bible, you find out, man, sometimes the things that God talks about just sound kind of crazy to us. They sound like, man, that's totally not exactly what I seem to think or what the world around me and our society seems to think. And there's a saying that goes like this. Some of you guys might have heard this, and it says, you, hold on. Okay, I got it. I was like, that's not right. Is that the saying goes, you get what you deserve. I heard it. You get what you deserve, right? And I think a lot of us may think this, may kind of think this is a, you know, a good saying, might even believe in this, might even, I think even more of us might even really act on this. But when we look at different situations, if some little kid is picking on another kid, and then he ends up in a fight and gets beat up, we say, oh, he got what he deserves, right? Things like that. But man, that's not exactly the example that God gives us. And I want to talk this morning, tonight, about this man named Hosea. Some of you guys might have heard of him. And God uses the book of Hosea to really describe this relationship that God is having with Israel. Now, Israel is God's chosen people back in the Old Testament days. And God said, man, Israel, these are my chosen people who I'm going to love, I'm going to be with. And as Israel made different decisions, God was always right there. And a lot of times Israel would turn away from God. And they would choose to worship idols and do other things than God would want them to. And God continually pursued them. And when they turned back to God, God was right there to meet them. And so he uses this story of Hosea, who's this man. And God comes to Hosea and says, I want you to go and marry this woman. His name is Gomer. That's an interesting name for a woman. But I guess she was good looking. I don't know. But he says, so first I'd be questioning, God, you want me to go marry this woman named Gomer? But anyways, now also you find out that Gomer was a prostitute. Okay? Now she was going and she was having relations with other guys for money. And God says, you know what? I want you to go love this woman. Her name is Gomer and she's a prostitute. Cool, right on, God. That's, yeah, awesome. But Hosea is a faithful man of God and he says, God, man, if this is what you want me to do, I'm going to go do it. And he finds Gomer and he marries and they have kids together and they have this relationship. But also we find out that, you know what, there's other kids involved in this story now that we don't, that the Bible doesn't say exactly are Hosea's. So they're kind of thought of by many people as being maybe other children that she went and had with other men. And now all of a sudden she turns away from Hosea and goes back into prostitution. Okay? So Hosea marries this woman who's a prostitute, is faithful to her, loves her, and then she turns away from him. So this is kind of where we pick up the story in Hosea. I'm going to read in chapter 3. Hosea ends up going away with this other guy, and then this guy ends up selling her into slavery, actually, after he doesn't like her either, I guess. But Hosea, chapter 3, it says this, the Lord said to me, and it says the Lord said to Hosea, this is Hosea talking, the Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods. So that's what I did. I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. So Hosea, God is telling Hosea, you know what? Go find that wife that left you, that relationship that was broken, and go love her again. Buy her back if you have to. So Hosea goes and buys his own wife out of slavery. And then Hosea says, I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or intimate with any other man, and I will live with you. So Hosea, man, again, in our wisdom, in our thinking, man, I would think that Gomer kind of got what she deserved, right? She got sold into slavery. Well, she left her husband and went off and did all these crazy things. But God says, no. God says, Hosea, go find her. Love her again. Buy her back if you have to. She didn't really get what she deserved, right? But thankfully, that's not the principle that God lives by with us. Because God loves us and he loves you in spite of what you do. And he also calls us to love others the same way. You know, I had a friend at church the other day come up and talk to me, and he was talking to me about some different things he wanted to get involved in church, because he was saying, man, I just feel like sometimes I'm just wasting my time. Sometimes I'm just doing things throughout the week and hanging out with friends and kind of making these decisions that aren't the best for me, and I'm just kind of wasting my time. And really what he was saying is, man, I need to find some way to start making some wiser decisions, because the things I'm doing in my life right now aren't really serving the purpose that I know that God has for me, and it just seems like I'm wasting my time. So the reason I'm kind of sharing these stories with you here tonight is that sometimes, man, we face difficult decisions. We face tough decisions. We face things that we feel like, man, these aren't good choices for us to make, but we're not sure how to get out of those things, or sometimes there's not really a clear right or wrong. But I want to encourage you that when you have doubts, and as you leave this place tonight, and you go through this week, when you have doubts, I want you to think about this, to choose the most loving decision that you can think of. So when in doubt, choose to love. For me, listening to Spice One and the gangster rap, the things I was putting in my ears probably weren't the most loving decision that I could make. For Hosea, man, buying his wife back out of slavery after all she had done, man, that was definitely the most loving thing that he could do. So now you may think, you know, that sounds pretty, you know, simple enough to hear. Might not be always that clear, though. And so I want to encourage you, man, Dennis is going to spend the next month with you guys talking about how to make wise decisions, how to make the best decisions for your life. If we start making wise choices now, man, that's just the closer and closer we can become to that person of Jesus. And that's what it's all about. If you guys are new here, maybe your first time here tonight, again, I just want to, you know, welcome you guys. I'm glad that I could be here with you guys. But, you know, sometimes we get kind of a warped view of Christianity because we see these people that are said to be Christians and yet they're not doing what we think a Christian would do. You see me in my car at high school leading a Bible study for FCA and listening to Spice One in my car, you know, and you're like, well, that's not quite right. But man, that's our goal. We're just working to be, man, the most loving people we can. So I want to encourage you guys, man, to come back this next month and listen to Dennis and learn how to make wise choices together. And we're going to pray, and then we got some different things we're going to do and some different reasons, some different rooms and stuff that we're going to go into. Man, I can't imagine if I'm going to be able to come back to this place someday, hopefully, and talk with you guys again. And if you guys, every time you face that decision, man, you choose the most loving option. Man, this place is going to look a lot different, I think. It's going to be pretty cool. So let's pray together. God, I just thank you for the examples you give us. God, I thank you that you don't give us what we deserve. God, I pray that we just don't live by that principle as we have relationships with other people, that we don't just give them what they deserve, God, but that we can see them with your eyes, God, and love them. God, help us just to make wise choices, to not waste our time, the things we're doing. But God, when we face those tough choices and those tough options, that we could remember and to think of what is the most loving choice. And God, I thank you, even though we're not faithful sometimes to you, God, that you always are faithful to us. And as soon as we turn to you, God, that you run to us. And I thank you that we can just have a relationship with you. God, I thank you for the love that you give us. And pray that we could just leave from this place following you. In Jesus' name, amen.